Prayer change.
Things are moving. Is it
prayer change?
Prayer changes things.
Now all of these things were happening in one family. But that's okay, cause there's nothing God can achieve. I don't care what the problem in your life may be, cause who the Son sets free is free indeed. And if you didn't know, now you shouldn't know. All you gotta do is take this family's life for example. Now mom and dad are married again. And four kids now cause they just had twins. Little sister all grown up now. She's a lawyer married with one child now. 2 years big brother's out of college. And man, he's got his hands full.
Hallelujah.
Blessed with skills, blessed with knowledge. Now he's playing for the Chicago
Bulls.
I'm a witness.
Prayer changes.
Oh, when it looks like
prayer changes.
You can't make
it all.
I know that
prayer changes things.
In the middle of the storm,
prayer changes things.
Prayer changes things. Even if you do it wrong, all your money's gone. If you put out your home,
prayer changes things.
You can't find a friend at your journey's end. Seems you just can't wait. Seems you're going through and trouble's chasing you. Devil's got a hold on you. When it seems you can't go on.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
What about Shadrach, Meshach, and that bad Negro? I mean, Abednego. Hey, now that Bishop Chan said that, you know what I'm talking about? What was it? They said, King, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. And what they told him, they said, look, if you don't throw us in, we still ain't gonna bow. If you do throw us in, God's gonna get us out. They had the fear of God in them. Regardless, you just bring it on. God is able to deliver us out of your hands. And he will deliver us. Why do you think Paul was persecuted the way he was? The fear of God will sometimes bring persecution on you. Because you refuse to yield and give in to the demands that the world will place upon you because of the fear of God. It'll bring some heat. But it will also bring the power of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. When you fear God, you will destroy the idols and the false gods that your parents and grandparents served. Joshua 24:14. You see, sometimes we learn things from our parents or grandparents that don't all time line up with the word of God, and we learn to serve certain things. I mean, if you check your family tree out, you're going to find some sin in it. Right? That was passed down to you. Some character traits. Every family got character traits. But when you get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, then God began to remove those idols and those mindsets that you receive from tradition. And he started lining you up with the Word of God. Amen. And sometimes that brings persecution from your family. Well, who you think you are? You ain't no better than us. Yeah, I know what you used to do. Yeah, but I ain't that man no more. When you fear God, you will change your ways to please God. Psalm 55:19. When you don't fear God, you're going to do two things. You're going to rebel against God and you're going to forsake Him. 1 Samuel 12:14 and Jeremiah 2:19. You'll rebel and forsake God. When you don't allow the Spirit of the Lord to rest upon you, then you're going to rebel against God in disobedience and you're going to forsake. In other words, you will walk away from God. And you see, what happens is sometimes when people are enticed with sin and they decide to yield to it, and because it's pleasant, the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season, for a while. Satan lets you have a good time with that thing, but eventually that thing going to produce death in you, because the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Death is going to result sooner or later. Something going to die. Nobody ever cheats sin in and of yourself. The only way to be delivered from the consequences of sin is through repentance and giving your life to God. That's the only salvation that you have. But some people will go into that sin and then they will lose the fear of God because of the pleasure of their flesh. And when that happens, you'll see them start to pull back out of fellowship with people that do fear God. They're no longer comfortable around people that won't talk about Jesus. And you'll see them bring a whole nother circle of friends into their life. Their company will change. Their talk will change. Their attitude about God will change. Their attitude about church. And they'll say, oh, I'm still connected. Well, how come I don't see you no more? I can remember you was really connected. The fear of God is a requirement for serving Him. And there's a danger that I saw in the Bible in 2 Kings chapter 17. Just blew me away. Because God talked about a group of people who feared God and worshiped their idols. I thought that was a mistake. And I had to go get some more translations. I said, maybe this is a misprint. How can you fear God and still serve idols? And this is what God said. He said, they don't fear me. They said they did. And the Bible says, and they feared God and worship their idols. In other words, this is what people will do. This is how it happens, is that people will embrace Jesus, but they won't let go of their immoral lifestyle. In other words, they just add Jesus and they just add church and they add giving and, you know, they add religion to their life, but it's not sincere and it's not really truthful, because they never made a decision to repent and to change. So all they did was add Jesus to what they were already doing. And so even in, like I've heard, like Pastor Little went to India, and he talked about they got millions of gods over there that's openly said, millions of gods. They got names, everything. These are demons that these people worship. And so they say when they preach the gospel, they have to make sure that they tell them that they, when they receive Jesus, they're renouncing all the other ones. Because if you don't make that clear to them, they just add Jesus to the list of gods that they serve. So you don't want to be caught in that predicament where you are fearing God, you got some religion going on, and you're doing some things right, but your heart really ain't all there, and you refuse to really allow God to change your life. I'm going to tell you, that is a terrible place to be in spiritually. Amen. Where you're trying to hold on to God with one hand and to hold on to the world and the desires of your flesh with the other one. That is a most miserable place to be in, because you want the peace of God and you want the blessing of God, but on the other hand, you're doing everything that will steal, kill, and destroy from you. So you got death in one hand and trying to hold life in the other. And they don't mix. You got light in one hand and darkness in the other. And they don't mix. You understand? You can't have an unholy mixture. You got to have light in both hands. You got to have life in both hands. Jesus said, listen, be hot or cold. If you're going to serve the devil, he said, go ahead and serve. Get full of darkness. If you're going to serve me, get over here and get full of light. He said, but don't try to live right there in that deceitful state of bliss. The way you think you can hold life and death and at the same time. That you can hold that you can have a clean stream coming into you and a muddy stream coming into you, and you got purity on the inside. You can't do it. Hallelujah. Praise God. There are great benefits. So I'm just warning you today, don't try to hold on to light in one hand and darkness in the other. I'm going to tell you, get rid of the darkness and fill the other hand with light. I mean, if you're going to be right all the way. If you're going to serve God, quit playing around with it. If you're going to give your heart to Jesus, go ahead and go all the way. I mean, just abandon yourself to the will of God. Quit playing with it. Quit trying to have what you want and what you desire and want God's blessing at the same time. All right. I'm going to go through these benefits. I don't have time to give you scripture reference. I'm almost out of time here. But let me tell you the benefits. I'm just going to go down this list of benefits, and then you can catch these here. Revelation knowledge and understanding is a benefit of fearing God. God will keep his eyes up on you to deliver you from death and to keep you alive in famine. That's the scripture I was talking to you about. Psalm 33:18. He will keep his eyes up on you when you fear him, and his eyes are up on you to make sure that he delivers you from any trouble that comes in your life. When his eyes, when you know his eyes are up on you, then it protects you and it brings deliverance in your life, that there's just some things you're not going to do, some places you're not going to go, some people you're not going to associate with. Amen. It's a protection. It's a deliverance in that. Deliver before you even got in trouble. I like that kind of living. I'm delivered before I even got in trouble. Hallelujah. I'm saved before I was lost. Hallelujah. Praise God. He'll keep his eyes upon you. So when the fear of God's working in your life, you ought to feel the holy eyes of God upon you. And if you don't sense that, that means you need to spend more time with God until you can feel his presence, till you can sense his presence, that his eyes are upon you. And when his eyes are upon you, then you know that the presence of God is right there with you. And it's a deterrent to sin. There's no want to those that fear him. Salvation, safety, deliverance, rescue, welfare, prosperity is close to those who fear God. God has great mercy on those that fear him. The Lord has compassion on those that fear him. God is pleased with those that fear him. God provides for those who fear him. God fulfills the desire of those who fear him, and he hears their prayers and he delivers them and saves them. You say, well, Pastor Greg, how do I get the fear of God restored in my life in a greater level? Let me give you a bunch of S's right here. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Sanctify. Set him apart. Give him a special place in your life. Make him your only source. Surrender your will. Lay down your ambition, plans, and dreams to pursue his plan and purpose for your life. Surrender. Submit to the Lord. Let him have his way by living a life of obedience to the word of God. Submit your will to him. Submit. Get under his authority. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. See, there's great power when you begin to submit to God. You're demonstrating that you fear God. And when that fear is upon you, Satan is afraid of you. When Satan approaches somebody that's got the fear of God on them, he's very cautious because he don't want you to turn that sword on him. I've heard of stories of demons walking down the street looking for houses to get in and go buy some houses. Man, don't go in there. It's full of the Holy Ghost in there. Let's go somewhere where it'd be easier work. Hey, man, hey, they in there praying in the Holy Ghost. They fear God, presence of God there. Hey, don't you see that fire, that circle of fire around there? Don't go over